Hi there, it's Nikki. I wanted to take a quick minute to make sure you knew about our free on-demand copywriting training. Whether you're brand new to copywriting or you just can't seem to hit your income goals, this training is for you. You'll learn the three secrets to landing freelance copywriting work without wasting time on frustrating job bidding sites like Upwork and Fiverr or cold calling strangers. And if you've listened to any of the student stories on this podcast, this is the exact same training they all got started with. I'm talking about KK, who's making six figures working part-time and who just retired her husband to help her run the business. Stuart, who replaced his full-time salary with freelance copywriting work and then some. Stacy, who hit six figures in 6 months, her very first year as a full-time freelancer. Ashley, who landed the in-house copywriting job of her dreams. They all started with this free training, and you can get started with that same training too. Sign up right now at freecopywritingtraining.com. Are you ready to learn the keys to copywriting success? My name is Nikki Krawczyk, and I've been a copywriter for more than 20 years, writing for multi-billion dollar companies down to solopreneurs and every size business in between. My co-host Kate Sitars and I, along with the rest of the Filthy Rich Writer team, are sharing everything we've learned in our decades in the industry so that you can start and scale a successful copywriting business of your own. To us, being filthy rich means having a job you love, being good at what you do, and making great money doing it. Let's dig in. Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Build Your Copywriting Business podcast. Hey there, Kate.
Hello, hello.
Hello. Okay, now, today we're going to talk about rules. And I know that there is a certain percentage of you, maybe even a large percentage of you, that goes, oh, rules. Oh, that's not why I started a new career. I don't want to have rules.
You're going to love these rules.
Yes.
These are fun rules.
Exactly. We're not talking about rules that are going to constrict you. We're not talking about rules that are going to make your career any less fun. In fact, we're talking about rules that are going to allow you to build your career and rules that are going to allow you to take care of yourself, since you are, let's just go ahead and say it, the most important element in your entire business.
Mm-hmm. These are not grammar rules. These are... This is my favorite. I love business rules because too often we don't set boundaries. Let's call them boundaries too. Business boundaries might be another way of looking at it too. If you don't like the word rules, use boundaries. But many of us are not good at enforcing boundaries because we haven't actually taken the time to write them out. And I mean, take it out of your head of what you think your boundaries are and what you want. And I would recommend as you go through, and we'll have lots of recommendations for different ways you can go with your rules, but these should be very, very individual to you and what you want out of your business and how you want your life to look and how you want your business to interact with your life and have those two things work together. And so I would recommend get a piece of paper, journal, whatever, Google Doc, whatever your preference, and actually write these out so that you have them and then paste them to your monitor, paste them, make them your background of your screen, put them to the side of your laptop. So when you're on client calls, you have these as a reminder somewhere very, very prominent. Frame them on your, you know, have someone do a nice like letterpress type thing and frame it on your office wall. I'm so serious. Nikki's laughing at me if you're watching the YouTube video, but
I think you're going to take it to tattooing next.
I mean, I wouldn't go that far, but if you're into it, mm-hmm. Why not?
Yeah. And, you know, we're joking. Well, I'm joking with the tattooing. Kate is not joking about anything else. But these are so important because they are how you stay healthy and happy in your business. Whenever we hear from copywriters who are saying, oh, I'm feeling so burnt out, or I'm working so much. And, or even when you get to people who are thinking, well, I think maybe because I feel like, Kate, you have shared that you go through this every once in a while. We're like, maybe this isn't copywriting. Maybe I don't want to be a copywriter anymore. Maybe I need a totally different job. It's often not that. It's usually because you haven't been adhering to your business rules, and mm-hmm. you are working way more than you need to be. You are not, let's just dig into it. What are some of the rules, the boundaries that we suggest people set up for themselves?
Yeah, the first one, and if you've been listening to the podcast lately, I feel like we've been talking about this a lot, but we're going to talk about it again because you need to set it. And if you haven't, now is a great time. You probably have your copywriting rate in mind, what you kind of based your project rates on and your hourly rate for clients that you do hourly work with. But in addition to that number, you need your no lower than rate. So this is the rate that you set that says, I will walk away from this project if the client can't meet me at X. And mm-hmm. So again, a lot of what you're doing is project rates, but if you're basing that on something, you're basing that on something, right? So you're basing that with your hourly number based on the amount of hours and time you feel like it's going to take you to do the project. So again, you might not have this no lower than number. You might say my rate is my rate and that is it. And that's great. And so put that is your no lower than number then. This is my rate and I will walk away from any project from clients that cannot pay this rate. Totally fine. And as a reminder, you should go into every project quoting your full rate. Your no lower than rate is only for when a client comes back and says, we don't have the budget for whatever your full rate is. And so obviously at that point, you can consider lowering the rate for the, you can also play with the scope of the project and say, okay, for instead of doing 5 emails, I can do 3 at that price and still keep your full rate. That is absolutely an option. Occasionally, though, if it is a new industry you want to break into, if it is something where you're like, this would be a really great portfolio piece, or this is a company that just the people seem really great and I really want to work with them, all of these different options, and these should be in your rules too, for the times where you break, quote unquote, break your rule of your regular rate. Mm-hmm. And you say, I am willing to flex my regular rate in these key scenarios. And here is what that rate, that kind of next tier is.
Yeah. I was actually just thinking about that as we were talking about that, because years ago, listeners of the podcast, longtime listeners may know that years ago, I used to write back cover copy for Harlequin mm-hmm. romance novels. Not all the time, periodically, but it was just a really fun job. And they did not, they may have changed, I do not know. It was a while ago, but they did not pay well, way lower than my standard rate. However, it was so much fun. So what I did was I made the rule. I would give them, I think my time was maybe an hour and a half. They could have an hour and a half of my time that week. I would do projects that fell within an hour and a half. But anything longer than that, that I'm just penalizing myself for taking that work. But mm-hmm. because I liked doing the work, I thought it was fun. I thought it was funny. I was willing to give them an hour and a half of my time every week and do it at their rate. Now, that also did not last forever because at a certain point, even though it was fun, it just was silly of me to work at such a low rate. But you can create those kind of subset of rules for yourself. The key, though, is not to just be doing it willy-nilly, not to go, well, okay, well, if they come in before other clients, then I'll do 6 hours of work their time. And then well, if other clients come in first, and then it's going to get really, really complicated. Think in terms of setting larger rules that are very, very simple to follow. Like Kate was saying, this is my standard rate. If a client comes in and they absolutely can't do it and I'm interested in talking to them, interested in negotiating, maybe I think it's going to lead to more work, or maybe it's just a company I'd really love to have in my portfolio, then I'm willing to negotiate as low as X number, but I will not work for any lower. And again, if there's a certain client, okay, I'm willing to do it at their rate, but they get an hour of my time each week or something like that. These are very discrete, specific rules that you absolutely know. And the thing about making rules like this is you don't have to decide every time. Because that mm-hmm. decision fatigue is real and it will stress you out. And if you're having an off week, let's face it, we've all had a week where we don't have a ton of client work in. And even though we know it's very likely we're going to land the next client and the next client the week after and whatever, we all have crises of confidence. And it could be very tempting in that week to go, but I'm feeling really nervous, so I'm just going to take a ton of this low rate work. And then you find yourself later on full of low rate work when you would be able to bring in plenty of higher rate work. Whereas if you just followed your rules, mm-hmm. you wouldn't have had that crisis of confidence. You wouldn't have had to make those decisions. You would have known exactly what you do because you followed your rules.
Yeah. And that's why you need them prominently somewhere you can access. So you're like, I'm making a decision. Let me go into my rules. If this, then that. It's like one of those flow charts. You just want to follow and then you don't have to think at all. It's just, you've already done that thinking ahead of time.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, and in terms of already doing that thinking ahead of time, it's not just important in terms of money, but it's also important in terms of time. None of us mm-hmm. got into this to be working 12 hours a day. In fact, a lot of us got mm-hmm. into this so we'd be working a little bit less time than we were working at our previous jobs or whatever. But it, along those same lines, it can be very easy to let the amount of time we work really creep up. A client needs this, and well, a client says they need it on this date, and I don't want to say no to this project because mm-hmm. who knows if another one will come along. Well, I mean, you do because you're pitching, so you can control the work that comes along. But in that moment, I get it's that crisis of confidence again, right? The what if I never get another? Of course you will, but it can be very tempting to just say yes to everything. And all of a sudden you're working massive amounts of hours and you're burning out.
Yeah. And I think one of the biggest ones for me that was a game changer was one we were talking about with our CCA next level students. And we were talking about, Nikki, I think you were mentioning, what if instead of continually moving the goalpost on income, you just said, I hit my goal. I'm going to stop now. And so for me, I instituted a rule with my freelance work of once I hit this number for a given month that I know I'm going to have this much coming in this month, I'm done. I'm not taking projects till the next month or the month after or however far booked out I am. So I stop. So if I hit, you know, it's April now, April 7th, I'm actually already at it's one project. I have a very low freelance number. I have a full-time job now. Come on, guys, give me some slack. But so anyway, I set that number though. And now, okay, so April's booked now. I won't take another project till at least May.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we're done. So that helps not have that creep of projects of just, oh, yes, yes, yes. I'm going to say yes to everything. Nope. I'm going to say either no or yes, but it has to happen in May. Mm-hmm. It can't kick it off till May. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, I would highly recommend for anyone who's letting the yes, yes, yes kind of inundate their schedule and then suddenly they have no free time and their significant other and families are like, what happened to you? Set that boundary.
Yeah. Well, that yes, yes, yes comes from fear. It comes from, mm-hmm. you know, once you're like, all right, this is a great number. And then maybe even you go like, wow, I never thought I'd make that much. When we're saying yes, 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 it's coming from fear that, oh, this was a good month and I'll never, ever see this number of clients ever again. Mm-hmm. Which is, it's a fear, right? And it's an irrational fear because our CCA students know you have the skills to find work at any time. You have the pitching and the follow-up skills to always control that you have new clients coming in. It's when you're sitting back and when you are letting work fall out of the sky or letting people send referrals to you that yes, for referrals are great. Don't get me wrong, but you can't rely on them. When you're sitting and hoping for work, that's when you don't have control. But our CCA students know that you have the control. You have the skills to find work. So but what if I never get any jobs again? It's irrational because you have the skills to find that work. So if you're saying yes, 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 because that irrational fear is coming up, you need to address that in yourself. You need to actually listen to it and talk yourself through it. Because if you give into it every week, every month, it's only going to get worse. It's not mm-hmm. going to, you're not going to fix that fear by giving into it. You're going to fix that fear by getting over it and dealing with it.
Mm-hmm. And that fear is going to prevent you from taking vacations. And that's another thing you need to set of how many weeks of vacation do I take a year minimum? What is my minimum number of weeks of time off or days of time off, however you want to calculate? You need to set, are there federal holidays? Are you going to take every federal holiday? You know, maybe there are some of your clients that work on certain holidays. Like I think Veterans Day is one that some mm-hmm. clients work, some companies don't. Or it doesn't mean you have to work it. Or
mm-hmm. international clients, right? They'll have different holidays than you will.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Great point. So you need to set what is your schedule? What are the holidays and out of office time and set that? Because if you set and enforce those boundaries, then your clients will respect them. And if you don't set and enforce those boundaries, clients are just going to, they're going to push. They're going to ask for more. They're going to ask for more. And they have no way of knowing that you're sitting there like, oh my God, I can't believe they're asking. Are you kidding me? On a federal holiday and this, that. They don't know. They're waiting for you to say no. Mm-hmm. And if you're not communicating that to them, then they're going to think everything's completely fine.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Well, and when it comes to vacations too, I know it can be tempting to say, well, but like, I'm not going to actually go anywhere. So I might as well work. I know it's going to take this week off, but I'm not going anywhere. vacation is not just about, well, I'm traveling to Mexico and therefore I'm taking the week off, or I'm taking the kids to Disney World and therefore I'm taking the week off. That's not just what vacation is about. You don't have to necessarily go anywhere to say to yourself, okay, I'm going to not work for this week. I'm not going to check my email. I'm not going to, I mean, obviously you will warn your clients in advance, and we have podcast episodes about this, but I'm not going to check my email. I'm not going to check any of these accounts. I'm not going to do any work. Your brain needs a break from work. So even if you're not going to Mexico or Buenos Aires or wherever, even if you're not going away, you need to take some time off of work. Your brain needs a break in order to operate at its highest abilities.
Mm-hmm. And when we talk out of office too, there are other examples of this. It doesn't have to be, to Nikki's point, a vacation. It doesn't even have to be a staycation though. It could also be you set rules for yourself that I don't work Fridays after 2 p.m. I just don't. I take every Friday afternoon off. Or I personally do work Friday afternoons, but I promise
this. I'm sorry, what, Kate?
These are just examples. Or, you know, for example, that you only take meetings at certain times. So and your client doesn't need to know that. If they come back to you and say, hey, I want a meeting Wednesday at 1 p.m., you can say, no, hey, that doesn't work for me, but can you do these other, and give them, you know, other times. I personally like to batch my meetings as much as possible. So I like it in afternoons, and I like it on, you know, a couple days a week, so that there's not meetings. They take you in and out of your work, right? So I try to cluster my meetings as much as possible. And that's why I also don't use something like Calendly. I can't keep up, because every week to week, it's different. Sometimes Wednesday I'm feeling great. Sometimes Thursday I'm not feeling great, or whatever. So give yourself, though, if you have certain days and times that you're like, this is when I want to take meetings, great, set that rule. Mm-hmm. Your clients don't necessarily need to know that those are the only days and times you can take meetings, but you can just easily, if they push back, hey, nope, I'm going to recommend a different time, and do what works for you. Obviously be flexible when you can with your clients. If they can't meet at a certain time, sure, you might have to flex that a little bit, but set what your in-office hours are, what your out-of-office hours are, and that can be week to week and not just not just with vacations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I think that's where a lot of the work creep comes in. You know, we're sitting at our desks and, well, I was going to stop at 5, but, you know, it sounds like the kids are busy and, you know, I can probably sneak in a little bit more work. And yes, there are going to be times when you need to sneak in a little bit more work, or you need to have dinner with the family and then come back and, you know, sneak in a little extra half hour out. But the thing is that this shouldn't be standard, unless that's how you've chosen to create your schedule. Maybe that is how you create your schedule. You know, you have, I'm just trying to think of a possible scenario, but, you know, maybe you have, your youngest is in kindergarten, so you have 2 hours in the morning, and then in the afternoon they're home, and then you've got an additional 2 hours in the evening after dinner when you can steal that time. If that's your schedule, fine. But be aware that that is your schedule. First of all, and this is for all of us, no matter what your schedule is, don't beat yourself up for not getting more done when you have limited time in the day. I know that I certainly am guilty of this, of looking at a week and going, oh my gosh, I have so much time, we'll be able to get so much done, and not factoring in how many hours I actually have, because there are meetings, there are other projects, and there's this, and there's this. Be aware of how much realistically, truly time you have to work. And then also be ruthless, but you don't even necessarily have to be ruthless. Just guard that time. This is your work time. And then on the same token, guard your regular lifetime. I live alone. I don't have kids. So for me, it can kind of go in the opposite direction. I'll work during the day, and then in the evenings, I'll kind of go, well, maybe I'm just, you know what, I was going to start this project tomorrow, but if I start it today, then I'll be a little bit ahead of time, and then I'll get stuff done sooner, when we know that there's always going to be more work to do. So if I do more, it's not like I'm going to be able to not work for 2 hours tomorrow. We all know how this works, and yet somehow. And then I find it creeping later into the evening. And at the end of the week, I go, oh my God, so exhausted. And I still have stuff on my to-do list, because there's always stuff on our to-do list. And it's because I didn't guard my time in the evening. I didn't say, okay, you know, 5:30 or 6 or whatever time, and go,
yeah, what's your quitting time?
Exactly. What is your quitting? What's your starting time? What's your quitting time? And quite frankly, too, What's your lunchtime? That was something I was impressed that you did, Kate. You went onto your calendar. I don't mean, okay, so.
I blocked it, folks, but do I always use it is the question.
Ooh, this sounds like a good something to work on for you. Yes. All right, catch us next time when we check in and see how Kate's doing.
I can't lie on camera.
But you blocked out your lunch, and which, again, this sounds like a good something to work on, that you truly block out your lunch.
Yeah,
that
I truly
so
actually
that
go
you
on a lunch.
Get a chance to eat. And if I were you guys, move away from your computer. I will have a tendency to sit at my computer and eat my lunch, but my brain doesn't get a break. And don't watch TV. Mm-hmm. Just go sit in another room if you have another room that you can sit in. But give your brain a chance to rest, because we do our best work when we give our brains a chance to rest and to assimilate all of the other stuff that we've been learning and doing and all of that work. But that's not going to happen if you don't put that parameter in there.
Mm-hmm. Two of the parameters that I really love are not checking email on the weekend. And to do this, I had to take my work email off my phone. That was a game changer. Taking apps off my phone was a huge, I took Facebook app off my phone. Sometimes I go on the desktop and I'm like, what are you doing? That's the workaround. But it's enough of a hassle that you tend to not do it. I suppose I could do that with email too. But not checking email on weekends, game changer. Obviously, if you want to do work on the weekends because that flexes for your schedule, great. But that doesn't mean you have to check email and respond to email on the weekends. No one's expecting it. So set that boundary if you want to. The other one that I love is limiting the amount of meetings in a day. So for example, if Tuesday I already have two meetings on the books, then I don't want to add a third. Again, enforce your boundaries better than I do, folks. But as much as possible, once I see it creeping up to like, I think three is actually my max, depending on how long they are, but 3 hours of meetings, okay, then I don't have a lot of time to actually get work done. Mm-hmm. So enforcing, and I wish, dear Google, Google's not listening, but if anyone could implement that as an option that you could say, you can't book my calendar anymore, that'd be great, Google. That'd be a really, really great feature to add.
Yeah, well, so and you talked
at max meetings.
Yeah. And you talked earlier about scheduling meetings on just like
certain
saving it just for certain days. And again, this is a different option, having it on every day, but having a maximum number of meetings. But then also even just setting meetings only during a certain time of day. Like for me, and I think I've heard Steve said it to you guys again and again and again, so apologies. But my peak time is in the morning. I am most creative. I am most effective. I am most productive in the mornings up until like 1 or 2 o'clock. So for me, as much as possible, I try to have meetings in the afternoon because I'm not at my peak creative time, but I am in a pretty good communicative time. So I can do, you know, 3 hours of meetings from, or 3 or 4 hours of meetings, depending on what I want to do, in the afternoon, because that's my best time. But I, as much as possible, try to keep that morning time sacred because I need that time to write things, to concept things, to create things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the other big category of kind of rules for your business is the real fun stuff, I think, is having a plan to celebrate your wins. And when we say wins, we're not just talking about huge, big milestones. Yes to those, obviously, you know, like landing a new client. What are you going to do every time you land a new client? And I feel like at the beginning, that might be something you do celebrate a lot and you put a lot of emphasis on. But I feel like as time goes on, you're just like, yeah, I land on a new client. And so for copywriters who've been at it for a while, come up with a plan to celebrate when you land a new client. That's really cool. It could be anything. It could be, okay, I land a new client. I'm going to take myself out to dinner this Friday, have an extra cocktail or whatever. Mm-hmm. Dream with this, get creative, brainstorm a ton of ideas and see which one sticks for certain things. But the key is with wins is not to just wait till the big thing of like, you have this goal in mind and I'm not going to celebrate it until I get there to the very, very end. And also, what is the end? Because you're going to continue to grow your career. But it's like you're withholding celebrating because you feel like you don't deserve it or you haven't actually achieved anything. When all of these things have happened where you've grown, whether, you know, CCA students know, you've completed the foundations modules. That's huge. You built your online portfolio. Also huge. You sent in your first pitch. That's a big deal too. And all of these wins don't have to be celebrated in the same exact ways. They should be definitely individual to you. You know, I wouldn't recommend saying, you know, I got through the foundations course, I'm going to go buy a new house. Obviously that might be, you know, you could, should you be in a financial situation to do so. But what are you going to do to celebrate each of the milestones along the way? And again, write it out and have it written down so that you're like, oh yeah, I did this. I'm going to do whatever your win is. Mm-hmm. And not only is that motivating to keep you going, to be like, okay, I hit this milestone on the way to my maybe bigger goal. You deserve to celebrate each of those wins. You don't gain anything by withholding and beating yourself up and saying, well, I haven't achieved the ultimate whatever it is.
Yeah. You would be surprised at how easy it is to blow past your goals, even mm-hmm. even big ones. You know, my first five-figure month, when I hit 10,000, wow. And especially if you're someone who has, you know, hit two or five or six, you think, wow, I'm definitely going to celebrate that. It's so funny because we spend so much time working to get there that by the time we actually hit it, we go, oh, wow, well, that was cool. And then we just move on to the next
thing.
We're like,
that's not enough. I hit 10, you know, I hit 10,000. Now I need to hit 11 or 12 or 15 or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's again, moving those goalposts yeah. when you achieve something huge.
Yeah. So take the time. And yes, CCA students, we encourage you to share all of your wins in the group. And so we can all as a community celebrate you. But for yourself, take some time. And some people are like, well, I'm going to tell my significant other. And that, yes. But sometimes even the people who love us don't understand what a big deal it is and what it took to get to a win, whether it's a big one or whether it's a little one. So take some time to find a way that will be meaningful for you to celebrate it. You know, we've talked about bottles of champagne. Get yourself a mm-hmm. if you drink, get yourself a bottle of champagne. I have one that I've written. I wrote the date that our company met a goal, and mm-hmm. now I have that bottle of champagne, so I can always. We did that. We did. Mm-hmm. It was like a little award for our hard work. Mm-hmm. And again, it doesn't have to be that. Maybe it's, but celebrate it. It should be a mm-hmm. rule that as much as we have rules for our business, we have boundaries, it should be a rule that you celebrate the good things. It is important mm-hmm. to take notice of these and to give yourself the acknowledgement for the hard work that you've done. You deserve it. And mm-hmm. it's so easy to let this stuff pass by when it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be something like just something else we do. It should be something that you take a moment and truly recognize yourself for.
Yeah. And it doesn't have to be, and it certainly shouldn't be just all income goals that you celebrate. I'm thinking if you get really great feedback from a client, maybe you get up from your computer and you go take a walk and grab a cup of coffee or something, you know, a fancy coffee that you usually don't get or whatever, but just you finished a project and you're really proud of the copy that you wrote. What are you going to like come up with these different scenarios of, hey, this is something I think I want to recognize, and here's how I can do that. And mm-hmm. yeah, just finding ways to enjoy what we do.
Yeah. I think, you know, once we're adults, we don't give ourselves a lot of opportunities to be proud of ourselves, right? When we're little kids, it's, you did a good job, be proud of yourself. But as adults, it's almost not frowned upon, but maybe we just don't think about it as much. It's opportunities to be proud of ourselves. And proud doesn't mean you have to tell the world, or, you know, you have to share it with your extended family on Thanksgiving when you got a client testimonial. Now, the CCA group, absolutely share it in there, because we will appreciate and celebrate it with you. But it's okay, and it's a good thing to feel proud of yourself. And if you don't even want to share it with the world, fine, but take a moment to feel proud of yourself, because you deserve it, and then celebrate it. Make a rule to feel proud of yourself. Here's your I was going to say special dispensation, but here's your allowance to actually feel proud of yourself and celebrate it. So we started with some boundary rules that are actually going to end up to be a little bit more fun when you do enforce them, when you actually let yourself have a life in the evenings, on the weekends, when you let yourself have vacation. And then moving into some straight out fun rules to celebrate. They are all equally important. It's not just important to stick to your rate. It's not just important to stick to the hours that you're going to work. It's also important to celebrate yourself and to take good care of yourself, because as we say again and again, you are the most important person in your business. And if you don't take care of yourself, no one else will. So it's your job to take good care of yourself and to recognize yourself and protect yourself. That's your job. Okay. So with that, we will catch you guys in the next episode. Bye, everybody.
Like what you heard? Subscribe to the Build Your Copywriting Business podcast so you never miss any copywriting tips, tools, or tactics. And if you think copywriting might be right for you, check out our free on-demand video training at freecopywritingtraining.com. We'll catch you in the next episode.